Okay, let's pray. Lord, we come to you. You've brought us together and given us the blessing of community and given us the blessing of access to your throne. And so we, for the foreseeable period, we will be doing that in the middle of the curse, Lord, the curse being involved in this world and all of the joys that we have and that we even share here as a community, but it's so much tainted by these things like crime and just difficulties within relationships and families, health conditions, political conditions, all of that, Lord. That's just, it shouldn't surprise us. Sometimes it still does. And so I pray for this morning, this very moment right now, Lord, as we're together and sharing and we hear people share these requests and our hearts, we're all facing some part of that. So, we can relate and we just bring you, we bring these to you and say, we're dependent on you, Lord. We know you love us. We know that you're good. We can express our questions about that. You're not shocked about that. You love us through that. You pursue us. And so that's what we do here this morning. And just realize that you are here and that you love us and that we love each other and want to help. And so may this be a morning of encouragement and for you getting the glory and you being preeminent, or you being the thing that we're focused on. And so we that has to come from your Holy Spirit. So we pray that right now and for your active work in all of these situations. Lord, I thank you for Brett and Margaret Ann, their kids, family, Lord, their willingness to both go and do so many works, Lord, for other people, but to go and recently do this in Poland and that they're willing also to come and share with us. And I pray that you would speak through them today and encourage us, encourage them, and just help us to have those people in Poland and that work, have them on our hearts. And so we can pray and rejoice in what you're doing throughout the world. And I just pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, y'all. We'll turn it over to Brett, Margaret Ann.
So
for those of you who we haven't met, I'm Brett Owen. This is my lovely wife, Margaret Ann. And we recently had the opportunity to go to Krakow, Poland for a couple weeks with our family and a few other members of the church here and serve a church there who's been doing vacation Bible school for some of the Ukrainian families that have left Ukraine. So we're just going to share a little bit of that experience.
Yes. So we're just going to start off with a video that my sister Neely came and we'll give you all the background of that in just a second, but just to kind of set the mood, we're going to do this. And so this is just kind of a cute little video of the kids that were there.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll move on. Marty teary-eyed, so.
Yeah, that was Neely put that together while we were there, so good.
Sorry, Neely is my, I am Tim and Peggy's daughter, and Neely is my little sister, for anyone that doesn't know. So.
She was able to put all that together. So, we're just kind of starting here with kind of how we got the idea and the call to go over and serve. And so, right after Memorial Day, I was kind of bought out of the company that I'd started, the year previously, which was a little bit unexpected. So I found myself, kind of with a lot of free time that, really didn't know, what to do with. So, first week or so was a little bit scary and, kind of started praying through that and thinking through that. And, the Lord just said, you know, I think in both, our quiet time and together, and the scripture that we were reading was just reminding us to wait, don't be conformed to the world, and those kind of things. And so we just kind of started looking for some service opportunities. And the first one, that I was able to participate in was, Christ for Ukraine. So MTW has this, kind of program that they've been running. It's actually coming to an end. I think it came to the end at the end of August, but where their church plants in Ukraine are collecting needs lists, basically, and then sending it back over here to churches in the States to basically get personal hygiene items, medical care items, and things like that packaged and then sent back over to them through their network. And part of that process there is they have a warehouse in Krakow, Poland, that they kind of redistribute things back over into Ukraine. So Briarwood and its members put together basically 28 crates worth of aid and supplies and other things. And so this is our team here that went over. We were over July the 5th through the 10th delivering some of that. And that top picture is actually we were able to go to Lviv, Ukraine for a day and deliver some of that. So that is in the center there in the blue shirt. Is Doug Shepherd. He's kind of the Ukrainian team leader for MTW there. So we were meeting with him. And then that's Alexei Travnikov right next to him, who works for a crew in Kyiv. And so while we were there, we were able to meet with the pastor there in Krakow the first night we were there and just hear about what they're doing. He's Sashko. He's a Briarwood-supported church planter in Krakow. He was telling us just about all the things that they've had happen since, really since COVID. So I think they were a 12 or 15 person congregation pre-COVID. And then I think in Poland, maybe churches were allowed to meet during COVID or during certain parts of COVID. So their congregation grew to about 20. And then, when the war started, their congregation grew to about 40. So, you know, they've had a lot of stuff in that, you know, just a lot of growth through that. And, he was telling us just casually over dinner about this 10-week, VBS, that they were running for Ukrainian kids, for 90 Ukrainian kids. And I was like, 10 weeks? And he was like, yeah, 10 weeks. So it's basically a summer camp all summer long, for these kids. And, you know, it was really just convicting to hear him say, you know, the need isn't short term. The need is long term, all summer. I mean, these moms, these kids have to be somewhere. And if we don't meet that need, they're just going to be in the street running around. So later that evening, I text Margaret Ann and asked if she might want to go to Poland for a couple of weeks.
No, I don't.
Anyway.
So I shared with some of you guys before we went about just that text message that I got, and just to paint a little bit of a picture for you, we were there. We were, you know, five kids deep. Mom and I were scrambling, cooking everybody dinner, and Brett's texting me. He's like sending me Airbnbs from Poland. Like, we need to come back and do this. I'm like, I can't even handle the kids that are in this house right now. Much less do I feel like we need to go. But then, later that week, I just opened up my prayer list and my Bible, and, it was so clear that the Lord was calling us to Poland, and in really, really specific ways. I feel like I could write a whole book, but some just little snippets are in my prayer, Google Doc, cause we're in that kind of century now. but in my Google Doc, I had the verse, little children, let us not love in word and talk, but in deed and truth. And that was the first thing that I was like, okay. And then I kept going, and it was like prayer after prayer after prayer that I had been praying for us and our family. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is exactly the answers to our prayer. I just didn't know that we were going to have to ship off all three kids overseas to do it. So some of those prayers were, give us an opportunity to connect with the poor this summer as a family. Let me be a missionary in my home, in my neighborhood, at our church, at our school. And then, of course, I guess when you say missionary, that can mean wherever you go. And then as we were praying through his work and what would be the next step, I read, see the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought the refuge of his own destruction. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love, whew, of God forever and ever. And so I just felt like, okay, this is what we're doing. Like, the Lord has called us and he will provide everything we need. And let me tell you, I am standing here. He provided through many of you, above and beyond anything we could have ever imagined. And just like a quick side note, the fact that we are standing here is just like God works miracles. If you have someone that you are praying for, there was 8 years where mom and dad were praying for me, and it was like, how could she ever see the light? And the Lord has done unbelievable things. And then just for us, like our marriage, and there have been so many miracles that the Lord has worked for, excuse me, us to be here today. So do not give up hope. Keep praying for those people, and keep praying for Ukraine, and keep praying for these things, because we serve a God of miracles. And this trip, us standing here together, and this trip is an absolute proof of God, just the hope that he offers through the gospel. And so part of that also is that, so we decided, okay, we're going to go to Poland, but we have a lot. It was literally, he came home, and in 2 weeks we needed to go, because they were already on week 7 at that point. It's week 6. And so we were going to go for the last 2 weeks. And it was kind of like, okay, we've got to take our kids don't have passports. We can't just go to Poland with three kids and expect to be productive. We need somebody to come with us and help us. So, I'm just kind of discussing this with a small group of girls that, meets at our house on Tuesdays. And Hannah Brennan is one of them, who, works for Raiders, the junior high ministry here at Briarwood. And she's like, I've really been wanting to go on a missions trip, and the Lord has closed this door. And she's like, I wonder if I could come with you guys. And we were like, we would love for you to come. Go talk to Jay. Long story short, the Lord allowed her to come with us. And then Neely happened to be there that weekend, and my younger sister, I was like, do you want to go to Poland? Kind of joking. And she goes, yeah, I think I do. I was like, wait, really? And so we went and told mom and dad, and mom was like, Margaret Ann, I have been praying that Neely would be able to go on a short-term mission trip. So again, just the specific, unbelievable answers to prayer that the Lord had so clearly called us. And then it ended up being officially, we had kind of planned on just going and helping the church, but Briarwood allowed it to be an official Briarwood sponsored missions trip. And then I came and presented in this class to raise support. And, number one, full support was raised, and we are so grateful to this class. There's no words that I can speak to tell you how grateful we are for your generosity, and how, I mean, it was a miracle. It was a huge answer to prayer that God used you guys and your generosity and your walk with the Lord to then bless us, and then in turn bless our children, and then in turn bless these children that have no home out, that are, you know, their life is war right now. And so thank you so much for that. So he allowed us to have full support. And during that class, there was a guy in the back, Dan, who had been recently, he's a missionary in Slovakia, but he had just kind of, when the war started, he, went to Krakow and helped. He knew all these same people that we were going, and he kind of gave us all this advice and places to stand, places to eat, and all this kind of stuff, which was amazing. And also a girl, another girl was in this class that led us. She had just flown with three kids from Hungary, and she let us borrow her wagon. I mean, there were just little teeny tiny details that the Lord allowed us. Then we had the issue of, we needed to leave in 2 weeks, and our kids did not have passports, and the Lord answered that prayer. Also, Neely needed a renewed passport. We were able to get their passports. We were able to get a place to stay. It was an absolute miracle. And so we'll introduce our team.
Yeah, this is, this is Atlanta. So we're leaving the Atlanta airport, about to get on a 9-hour flight to Paris. So that's our team. Hannah Brennan, as Margaret Ann mentioned, who works with Raiders, Neely, sister-in-law, sister, Margaret Ann, myself, and then our three kids, Towns, Mary Frances, and Maggie in the, front backpack there.
And Towns is 5. Mary Frances turned 4 when we went over there, and Maggie is 1, about to be 2.
So that's a whole thing in and of itself. But, so just a little bit. Yeah.
It's a miracle that we got.
It's a miracle we got there. They did not sleep on any plane, train, or car ride. So some sanctification happening along the way. So this is, just a quick slide about Krakow. So just a little bit of geographical reference. Pretty well the closest major city, to Ukraine in Lviv, which is on the west side, of Ukraine. So Krakow early, kind of in the war, saw a huge amount of people. A lot of these surrounding, countries did, but Krakow obviously had, a huge influx of Ukrainians fleeing the war as well. It's interesting. Krakow is a very historical city, unfortunately, for a lot of bad reasons. War is kind of a part of their history. And for those of you who don't know, Oscar Schindler's factory was in, Krakow, and part of Schindler's List was filmed there. And it's only about, it's the kind of the closest, major city in Poland to Auschwitz and Birkenau, concentration camps. And so, I went the first time to Auschwitz and Birkenau, and then Hannah and Neely were able to go this time and kind of do that tour. But, it's been really interesting, and kind of, challenging to go serve due to a war in a place that has so much history with, previous wars and oppression and propaganda and things like that. So really, for someone who's, I was born in 1989, so I've never knew Soviet Union or anything like that, but just to hear the stories now and to be able to go see this, in the context in which we're visiting, it's just really eye-opening to the evil in the world and just, the way that manifests itself.
Yeah, and actually that top photo is, there were Jewish ghettos there during the war where they forced a bunch, they took the Jews out of their work and they like forced them into these ghettos and they like literally in the middle of Krakow, there is places where they were, they exterminated many, many, many Jews in the streets. And it's really, so the history there is rich and heavy.
Yeah, definitely. And, we kind of stayed in the historic Jewish quarters where we stayed, and there's still a heavy Orthodox Jewish community there, actually. So this is Christ the Savior Presbyterian. This is kind of the home church that we were there to serve. That's Sashko and his wife, Anya, on the other side of him there. And like I said, they are Briarwood-supported church planters. And, just kind of to recap, they've had a significant kind of year over year, they're doubling their congregation. And so, it's been really interesting. Sashko's a great guy and his wife Anya, they're awesome. And so, that picture on the top right there is the Ukrainian Help Center that they opened, after the start of the war. So granted, keep in mind this church is 2 or 3 years old and here they are, starting a VBS, starting a Help Center and all these other things. So they're really, meeting the need for that's very abundant, there in Krakow. And that, I'll say on the bottom right there, they're actually, as I mentioned, we stayed in the historic Jewish district. The service where they're holding their service, their, Sunday service every week, is actually in, a synagogue. So let's pray the Lord does some work in there, right? But, it was just to go in there and, we were able to go to service, worship service with those guys twice while we were there. So, that was really good.
Yeah. And so their help center, you can see the Ukrainian flag up in the window. So basically what happens is in the corner of this, like a hub in Krakow, and people will walk by and they'll look at the Ukrainian flag. Cause as you can imagine, they don't like the Ukrainians coming here don't speak the language. They don't necessarily have anywhere to live. They're just like, we got to figure it out. And so actually we were able to go to Bible studies there. And in the help center, and you can see they have like a little kids center where the kids can play. They offer Bible studies. So this is a Bible study I went to, and they had it in Russian, Ukrainian, English, Polish, and then there was people from Kazakhstan, North Ireland. I mean, it was unbelievable. You would not believe what they did. And actually, we did they were going through a book that I've just recently went through with Hannah, so it was really sweet. But also you'll see here, like, people will come in, they'll see the flag and they'll come in and they have supplies, they have English classes, they have people that speak Ukrainian that can work them through paperwork and all this kind of stuff. So it's just basically a resource center for these people that
donation
are like,
center.
Yeah, donation center. And so lots of the things, you know, they have clothes and all and car seats and high chairs for people to just come in. And while we were there, multiple people came in and just went through the stuff. And actually, one day there was even a grandmother that came in with her kid with autism. And it just kind of was like, you know, a strike after strike after strike. You just think like, I can't imagine like this child that has autism. He probably has a structure and a routine, and now he's up. He's not in his home. He doesn't have his caretakers. He's in a new place. He doesn't understand the language. And you just think, you know, you just think through really in the personal stories of these people that have been uprooted from their home, and they are just thrown into a new life where they don't know the language. They don't have all the things that we have. So the church through the Help Center has started a weekly picnic, and that's kind of how it came about. The VBS is they started this weekly picnic for the kids, for the moms that were there without their husbands with kids. And they saw that there's tons of these kids and they don't have anything to do for the summer. And so they were like, maybe we should do a VBS. And that's kind of how the VBS came about. So we were able to attend the very last picnic, and all of the kids that were at the picnic also attended the VBS, which was just absolutely amazing. And so they decided through the picnic to do the VBS, and they used the Jesus storybook curriculum. And this next slide is just a couple more things that the church has done. They had like a little hostel where the people, like when they first were coming in from the war, they could stay, and they fed them, and they just hired people from Ukraine. That's Karina, one of the members that is from Kazakhstan. So she speaks Russian, and a lot of the people from Ukraine can speak Russian because it's similar language, or they can understand it at least. So, yeah.
Well, I'll let you do this. I was just, every time that I spent time with the folks from the church there, Sashko, and even the people that are there, just blown away by, I mean, again, they're two or three. They were literally 12 members 2 years ago. They were freaking out when they bought 40 chairs for their congregation. A couple, and, you know, like, why are we buying 40 chairs anyway? But yet they've done this, you know, awesome Ukrainian Help Center. They're doing this VBS, and they're about, we'll get into some other stuff that they're planning to do and working through to do, but just amazing how God has gifted them and answered just their steps in faith and given them a lot of resources to be able to do what they're doing.
Yeah, it's very clear that the Lord has chosen them just because He loves these people from Ukraine and He wants them to have a home. So Sashko is there in the pirate outfit. We've already introduced you. Simone is in the headband up there with me and Neely. She is the VBS coordinator. They actually hired her they don't have a children's ministry yet, but they're in the process of making one, and they kind of hired her as a VBS coordinator leading into some other things that we'll talk about later. She was amazing. She was, as you can imagine, once we got there on week 8, she was kind of like, please just do, like, your ideas are great. Go for it. just whatever you can do.
She's also South African, so she speaks Afrikaans, Polish and English.
But not Ukrainian.
But not Ukrainian.
And she did tell us before we got there, and she goes, the older kids really, they mostly understand English, which was not the case at all. We really quickly discovered that her saying they understood English was a very different definition of what we understand as understanding English. Anya is here in the dreams. Oh, sorry, Yuri is praying right here. He is a Ukrainian father, and he's in seminary to become a pastor. And he was able to leave Ukraine and come because of.
So if you're if you're a father of more than two children, you're able to leave. But if you're military age and you have less than two or less children, you have to stay and be prepared.
And in Europe, most people have two or less children. A family of four children is pretty rare, from what we could tell. But he basically, I mean, truly Yuri pretty much head up the whole thing, cause he and Anya, who's in the blue jean jacket, they were the two that could speak Ukrainian. Yuri couldn't speak a lot of English, so it was hard to translate with him, but Anya spoke English really well, and so they both really led those children, and I mean, he is amazing. Anya is there. Oops, sorry. Did a little fast. And then Svetlana is in the middle there, and she's also a Ukrainian mother, and we really want her to move to Birmingham and take care of our children. We took care of Maggie the whole time. She didn't speak a lick of English, but Maggie now speaks some Ukrainian, so she was amazing. So, and here are just some other volunteers. So thankfully, the Lord has sent volunteers from everywhere. Well, the first week we were there, there was a team from Brazil. You can see Elmo. He was doing football, which is soccer. Luciana is from Brazil, and Denise is there. There was a team. And then the second week, we had people come from the States, which I'll tell you is, and a lot, the other thing is a lot of their church members are stepping up. I mean, they took weeks off of work to help with VBS. It is unbelievable. And then they served like full meals there. And, Sergey is a Ukrainian father, and Yuri's wife, Olya, were volunteers there that did all the meal planning and putting out, which was really, I mean, significant and amazing and a lot.
All right. So kind of just generally what our day kind of looked like. We stayed about a mile and a half or so from where the VBS actually was. So it was a lot of transition, in a very short period of time. So I was there and I was like, okay, their church is in the Jewish district. So they're probably doing VBS in the church. I didn't think to really nail that down, but, anyway, it worked out. Actually the VBS was across the river about a mile and a half away from where we were staying. It worked out okay. We got a lot of good reflection and exercise, walking back and forth every day. Luckily, you know, our kids were able to go to the VBS and stay most of the time. We were fortunate enough where we stayed. There were a lot of really nice, public parks and playgrounds that they could play on. But generally every day, you know, the kids just kind of file in. Some of them are taking the bus. Some of them are walking. Some of them are taking the train. Some of them, their mom would bring them, but, so they're all just kind of filing in and playing soccer and hanging out on the playground. And then, Yuri would kind of open and they would usually do a game or something like that to try and get him organized. And then he would open in prayer and send them out through the day. And, generally we had two groups. There was an afternoon, a morning group and an afternoon group. The morning group was, they said six to ten, but it was really like 4 to 10 year olds. And then the afternoon was probably, 11 year olds to maybe 13 or 14 year olds. And they would all go through a craft time, some games outside, English and then story time, which was their kind of, storybook Bible curriculum time. For us, we would have a break for lunch, and then the morning kids, the younger kids would leave and the older kids would start to show up and, you know, do the thing again. So every day it took us a couple of days kind of to get warmed up in that, you know, their sense of time and our sense of time is a little bit different. And, you know, 10:30 might be 10:45, it might be 11, and, you know, just kind of took a little bit just to get in the rhythm there, but it was great. And really, really awesome. Then Margaret Ann, as a part of that, kind of in the second week started to work in rehearsal, and she had a whole other group of stuff going on that I tried to stay far away from. But, anyway, Margaret Ann, Margaret Ann was really the trooper here because she manned a lot of stations. I tried to come in and teach broken bad English, to some young Ukrainians. Hannah was also able to help, Neely.
Yeah, Neely, yeah.
And Neely
we helped kind of like well. Rotate through because there is like one day somebody needed to be in crafts, Maggie sometimes, you know, we just kind of all rotated through. But generally, Brett was like, the English man.
Yeah. Which, just pray for those.
Yeah, it's so sunny in there, you know?
It's bright. But anyway, so, you know, we're trying to put, word association and English association and with what they're learning in Bible study. So loaves and fishes and miracles and things like that for the younger kids. after about 3 or 4 days of using the same curriculum for the older kids, we realized that maybe we could step it up a little bit and challenge them a little bit more intellectually because it was getting a little bit out of hand. It was great. Learned a little bit of Ukrainian while we were there. Nothing significant, but.
Well, I do want to, can I tell them? So this is actually, this was one lesson that, this is like, they were talking about, the Pentecost and the Holy Spirit came. Sorry, we're going to, I don't know how to stop it now. we'll go through the next one. But so that day they were talking about the Holy Spirit. So with the younger kids, we would, you know, print out fruit and go over colors and names. And then with the older kids, we kind of tried to really introduce, like, what is the Holy Spirit? What does it do? And in that very same day in the afternoon, some of the boys got into a fist fight. And they were like, it was bad. They were saying bad words to each other anyways. And so they had to go to the office and they were suspended from camp for a couple of days, but Brett was able to like then sit down with them. And it's amazing what you can, you know, it's like the Lord was so funny. It's like, we don't speak the same language, but Brett was able to connect some of those dots of like, it's not you. You have to invite the Holy Spirit in, and through him, he offers us self-control. And he goes, you know, like I've had these moments, and it was a really amazing moment of just connection of like the Lord is, even in all of our insufficiencies, using these silly little English classes to introduce the gospel to these boys who are separated from their dad, who are in, you know, trauma mode, and it's coming out in aggression. And literally, like, it just felt, that was a moment where it just like, oh, okay, this is why we're here. We're doing something. But here's some more pictures of what we did in English class.
Yeah, and, you know, kind of in any classroom setting, I don't know if there are any teachers, but like, these are normal kids, right? So they're doing normal kid stuff. So you're trying to keep their attention and all of that. Plus they might be amped up on whatever, and they might have just come from craft time and have all kinds of gadgets and stuff to play with. But, I mean, at the end of the day, they're young kids, just like we were young kids and maybe have young kids, and, you know, things happen, and, you know, got a little heated in a dodgeball game and, you know, lost their cool. But they have a lot, they're under a lot of pressure and they have a lot going on. So that was really important kind of just to remember. Just in trying to be patient. Is
you
that.
Look very natural up there, Brett.
Oh, thank you.
He was his best self there. Yeah. I'm telling you. Okay, I'm going to go quickly through the next couple of things. So also as we went, we had prepared to do a performance for the closing ceremony of the 10 weeks where the parents were invited. So before we went, Mom and I started working on a script, and we got there, and I quickly realized, like, oh, they can't speak English at all. And also we were doing like a new creation kind of thing. And many of these children have no basis for the like Bible stories, gospel. That was like way over their heads. And so she was kind of like, we need to just use. So this is, we get there Monday we landed at 12. We went to the second. And then this Tuesday, she was like, I think we need to rewrite the script. And I was kind of like, okay. So I call Mom. This is amazing. Mom was, oh my goodness. I was like, okay, so we go through, they were doing the Jesus Storybook Bible. So I thought, okay, we can just kind of like combine the stories, go through the story, you know, just like the Bible as a whole, and then present the gospel. And so I'm on Google Doc, and Mom is in Birmingham on Google Doc writing with me. We're on the phone, like, so we do it, and then they have to translate it to Ukrainian. So anyways, it took a long time for the script to actually come about, but then we started rehearsal, and I had the four teenage volunteers that did it, and then Yuri was the narrator, and we just basically went through a very condensed overarching theme of the Bible, the creation, fall, blood, and then into Jesus coming, and then the resurrection. And it was really amazing. It was all in Ukrainian. So I would have the English script, and they would have the Ukrainian script, and we would be trying to figure out where we were and how to direct them. But thankfully, one of the moms is an actress. You can see her there. She came and helped me. She did not speak a lot of English, but she was able to direct them in Ukrainian, which helped a lot. And there were just little small things like Anya, one of the teenagers, made all of the craft, all of the props for us, which are beautiful. We were in a gym with mattresses that we couldn't move. And I was kind of like, I don't know how to make this pretty, but she was able to, make all these props, and she said that was part of like something that really, really distracted her from all the things that were going on. She's like, I love to create, and this is helping me just relax and be calm. And it was really amazing. And at the end of the week, we put on a performance, and the parents came and they watched it, and there was a gospel presentation. And I mean, it was simple, and it was, I don't know how to describe it. It was so simple, but the Lord was so present there. And it just was like a moment for me of just all the things that He has equipped me for. And you're just laying it on the throne. You know, you're laying it on an altar, and it's not about you, and it's not about your talent. It's all about the glory of the Lord. And so it was a really, really, really precious, sacred moment. And in the performance also, the little kids learned a song and Bible verses, and then the older kids also learned a song and Bible verses. And so they did it for the parents, and the parents loved it. As you can see, everybody was videoing, and it was just the Lord. It really felt like the Lord blessed it, and He was present. We're running out of time, but we'll do a quick couple slides. These are just a couple stories of young ones.
This was actually done, I think, through some group in the city of Krakow. This was just on a wall, on a city wall somewhere, and they had four or five different stories of these
mothers
and their daughters coming over from Ukraine. And this girl, Yaroslava, was actually in our VBS.
Yeah, so we went to dinner, and we were walking down. We were reading these stories. We were really cool, and I was like, that's Yaroslava. She's in VBS. So it was cool.
We were able to kind of see those stories, and then –
Katya and Liliana were two of the older girls, and they were actually they were going back to Ukraine at the end of the week. And we'll go through kind of the prayer requests, but it's hard because they don't have a lot of long-term solutions for school and for work for these people in Ukraine that are living in Poland. And so
it's still dangerous. Feel safe enough to go back.
But anyway, so Liliana left, and I was messaging her, and she sent me this message on, she said, thank you for your support of all the volunteers in this camp who came every week. You're the most memorable. And I just thought, okay, Lord, thank you. I didn't feel like we could communicate anything, but at least there was some kind of connection there, where she knew that we loved her and we were there for her. And that's little Yana, and Hannah was so good about just going and being with them, even though we couldn't necessarily communicate. And Yana spoke really good English. And so, Hannah was able to talk to her, and these kids, just their kids, they miss their dads. And we were able to pray with her. Sergey, this is really cool. He worked in the kitchen, and he's moving to Canada, so he's trying to learn English. So he would seek us out to literally just have a conversation with us. He wanted so badly to speak with us. And so one day I just said, are you a, like, I didn't realize that he wasn't part of the church. He had come through the picnic. And so I said, are you a believer? And he goes, no, not so much. I am open to it, basically, but not a believer. And I mean, it just felt like that was like one of the people that the Lord had chosen for us to talk to. And I was able to meet his wife, and Hannah was able to meet his wife and Katya, and we were able to have phenomenal conversations. And we were able to go to the church the next Sunday, and he and his wife were at the church in attendance, and they said they're really excited and they want to find a church in Canada. So, that was a huge answer to prayer. Anya is another person, and maybe my number one person that the Lord felt like He was calling her to Himself. She also came through the picnic, and she just was, there was just a connection there, a friendship. She and her husband are struggling. They're separated right now, and she has a little girl named Irina, and she was very open with it. And I think that this week, she had never been to church before in her life, and was not open to the gospel. And the Sunday we left, she came to church, and she said, she stood in the back like this, and she said, I can't remember what they were doing. Oh, they were taking communion. And I said, do you want me to explain you this? She goes, no, I'll just watch. She was very like, but it was amazing that she came to church, and we've been messaging a little bit, and, I think the VBS meant a lot to her, and I pray that those are seeds planted for the good of the gospel.
So as we were leaving and meeting with the pastor and trying to understand kind of what their goal is, the first was rest and sabbatical and vacation. But, so they're trying to, the Brazilians that were there before us were from a missions agency who focused a lot on early childhood development programs. And so they were there to kind of help transition the infrastructure of the VBS into a day school. So they're working through, right now, I think it's going to start in October. 4 and 5 year olds in Poland. Hopefully a lot of the Ukrainian kids from the VBS will be able to go. So right now they're only able to afford about 3 volunteers, which allows them to have about 25 students. And so they're praying that they can continue to raise funding and that as they raise funding that the Lord will send them other volunteers and staff members to help man the day school. And then kind of further, hopefully evolve that into maybe an elementary school or something like that.
And that is specifically for the Ukrainian kids in Poland. Right. They would like for it to kind of join together, but it's specifically as a ministry to those Ukrainians.
And then also, so Krakow has a lot of very prestigious universities in Europe and also in Poland. And so annually they get about 200,000 new students or I guess students into the region. And so they're really excited and open to wanting to be a hub or an anchor for some kind of campus ministry. So some of the other folks that were there in the second week, we're connecting them with some folks at RUF, and then we're going to try and connect them with some folks at Campus Outreach and give them some options to hopefully be able to house some kind of campus ministry in their congregation. The Christian counselors is something that, I've heard on both trips from multiple people, just, due to the trauma of war, and the, you know, these people leaving their homes and a lot of people sat at the border for 4 and 5 days with nothing to eat. And there's just a lot of culture shock going from Ukraine to Poland. And so, multiple people, have just kind of said, we hope that the Lord raises up Christian counselors for the men back in Ukraine to counsel them for hopefully when the war is over, as well as for the kids who may had to, you know, withstand some, you know, shelling or something like that early on before they could leave or just the whole process. So, there were some stories about, a couple of things during the camp that just kind of were early signs of just some traumatic expressions of, you know, what a 9-year-old would perceive as what's reality today. And so, just, you know, praying for those kids and that the Lord would send them Christian counselors to help meet that need. And this is kind of the Krakow and Poland evangelism is kind of more specifically to Sashko himself. You know, he's planted a church in Krakow before the war, and his heart is for the Polish people and for the city of Krakow. And the last couple of years, well, not the last couple of years, the last couple of months, he's really focused all of his ministry efforts towards the Ukrainians that have come over into Ukraine. And so I think it's been great. I think he's definitely got a lot of resources and a lot of things that probably would have taken a lot longer to develop, had this certain situation not been kind of placed in his lap. So we just pray that, honestly that the war would end and Ukraine would remain free and sovereign. And everyone would be able to go back to their home and that the infrastructure that's been placed here during this time, they'd be able to then use for the Polish community in Krakow there.
Just really quickly, I'll go through these really quick, but it was just so present. The Lord was just so unbelievably present there. The second week, first of all, this is a video, I won't play it, but of them singing in Ukrainian, Happy Birthday to Mary Frances. So the first Wednesday that we were there, it was Mary Frances's birthday and they had a birthday cake. I mean, it was just precious. They were so sweet. And then the second week, some volunteers came from a church in California and we had talked and one of them kept going, you look so familiar to me. I don't know why your name sounds so familiar, blah, blah, blah. And then the next day she came and she goes, we were talking about it last night and your grandmother was a speaker at our women's conference in 2017. And she had talked about the ballet and there was all these little connections, which was, I had never known her. I didn't know of her church. It was crazy. And then we are doing the performance on the last day and a man comes and grabs me and he goes, I love your grandfather's book. And he just walks out and I'm just kind of like, what? Brett had talked to him a little bit. He was there for Crates with Ukraine out of a church from South Carolina. And he had asked Brett, where are you from? He said, Birmingham. And he goes, do you go to Briarwood? And he said, yeah. And he goes, have you ever read the book Flight Path? And Brett was like, as a matter of fact, I got a special treat for you. That's my grandfather-in-law. So it was really sweet. And then some of the volunteers were from a base in Germany, and we were able to, after our Krakow trip, go visit a friend in Germany. And one of the girls that we had met in Krakow babysat for us, and we went to go pick her up. And Jim Alexander was their pastor in Colorado many years ago. And they had also, his dad.
Her dad had gone on, was from Charlotte and had gone on a Civil War tour with Harry.
Harry Lieber. My friend that's stationed in Germany was like, how do you know more people in Germany than I do? Like, how is that possible? So it was really sweet that the Lord was so present. And just quickly, so he told you some prayer requests. Also, just pray that, they would be able to get work in Krakow, the Ukrainian people would be able to get work, and that, the kids would be able to go to school.
I think one thing that we kind of were reflecting on, as we were still there, is just kind of us all being able to use our gifts that God has uniquely given to us in service to the Lord, and how different that feels when we feel like we're using our gifts, but it's maybe not for the Lord, and just how peaceful it is. And it's still stressful and it's still work, but just the calm that you have when you feel like you're really in line with the Lord's will and with the way that God has gifted you, and you're doing it in service to Him. And that was just, all of us on the team had really thought about that and just really recognized how, that is just a small glimpse of what it would be like, when we're in heaven and we're serving Him all the time and everything's perfect. But, that was just a really nice glimpse of that. The other thing, obviously my brokenness specifically, not hers, my brokenness, followed me all the way to Poland. And so, just a realization that we're all still fallen, even on a mission trip, even thousands of miles away and 7 hours in a different time zone. I'm still impatient. I'm still, all the things that I am here. So that was an interesting, revelation. And then, really one thing that. I can tell. Having communion with people, first of all, going to a church service that has a Ukrainian worship God, a Polish worship God, and an English worship God is awesome. And then going into a service and hearing all the various, so you have a guy over here who's translating in English, then you have a guy over here who's translating in Ukrainian.
And they all have their kids in the service. So that,
and we're singing some English songs, and we're singing some English songs in Polish. And so just that experience, and then really that coming together in a communion that, doesn't have a language, it's going to the table and as sinners, seeking Jesus, just having communion with people. There were Kenyans there. There was,
Northern Ireland,
Kazakhstan. I mean, literally, 10 or 11, nations there, and we're all able to partake in communion at the same time. And it was just really special. And, they had a very, just a worship order. There's just a lot of really cool things. I mean, they're a Reformed PCA, so their order of worship is the same as ours. And so there's a lot of, comfort in going there and it being the same, even though you don't understand a lick of what's being said, especially if the translator is broken, but, just kind of being able to have that experience and then take communion with those guys was a really special experience for sure.
Yeah. And so the whole time we were there, I was just reading through Isaiah and, was very, I mean, that was an experience in itself, just like the generations and the just time from a perspective of God is over this all, and He allows hard things, to bring about the redemption of His story, and just with my story and the way He saved me, and then Neely and the way He is revealing Himself to her, and then these people from Ukraine that are, it was amazing to feel like the things that the Israelites were reading so many years ago are still so true and so present and active for us today. And kind of going off of what He said, you feel so insufficient and so little. And yet you know that you're like walking with a God that's over it all and using it all for His glory. And so even this morning as we were like preparing to do this, it just said, like, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent. And we were praying for 20 kids to come to know the Lord, and we truly don't, I have no idea what was said in the gospel presentation. I really don't, but it felt like when I was reading that this morning, preparing to show y'all, I just thought, like, we were a tool of the Lord's hand. We were used for his glory, and he worked miracle after miracle after miracle. And I have no doubt that he will work the miracle of those 20 kids in his time, in his ways. And I may not, I hope to know it. I don't know if I will. But I do feel like the Lord has given me such peace and an answer to that just through the words of Isaiah. And also just like in Neely's life, just, I have such a peace and a hope for her through that experience of just like, it might look hard. It might look long. It might be, you know, there might be a lot of things in between, but the Lord is good, and the Lord is with his compassion and steadfast love. He is chasing after these people, and he is chasing after you, and he is chasing after your children, and he is chasing after Neely. And it just was, I am leaving the trip with such a piece of God's sovereignty and his steadfast love, and even in the hard things and how he works. And then we were able to go to Austria just for about 6 hours and see this beautiful mountain that they filmed part of Sound of Music on. And so then I was reading a little further, and I just love this. It says, for you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap your hands. And I just thought, okay, there you go. I mean, that's the perfect ending to the story of, like, the hills are alive with the sound of music. They actually are. And they're singing of the glory of our Lord that has saved me. That's like a miracle that I am here today. And it will be a miracle that Anya and Sergey heard the gospel, and those children were served, and they had a home when they were out of their homes. And he used our family. So we thank you for your part in that. And we thank you for letting us come share, and just pray that those seeds will go forth. They will not return void. His word will not return void. And that he will continue to use us and our family and all of us for the refugees and for those that have the poor and the widows and the orphans and those he's called us to serve. May we go out and make his hope known.
Yep. Here we go.
Thank you.
Y'all, fantastic job.
Yeah,
great. Let's close in prayer. Father, we are thankful for this report and for how it made you gave you glory and gave us hope. Lord, we thank you for that, and pray for your continued work there, continued work here. In Christ's name, amen.